Malachi.
Before he could move, she attacked.
Chapter 7. Nick threw his hands up to counter and fight as the mordant demon came at him with its messy, sloppy jaws snapping. Was it too much to ask for his telekinesis to be left intact? Of course it was. Or for a napkin, so that the creature would clean up after itself and stop demon drooling all over him? It was so gross, made him never want to have a teething child. He'd done his time in the crying room at church. Nick slugged the demon, causing the mucus to go flying. Gah, his mom would have a fit if this was in her house. They'd have to fumigate, defunk, and do who knew what to make it livable again. Just once, couldn't they get an attractive succubus after him? No, way too much to ask of the universe at large. Nick hit the demon with a blow that slimed his whole fist and left his entire arm numb. Disgusting. His stomach churning with revulsion, he felt another visit to the bushes coming on, which was definitely not something he needed to do in the middle of being attacked by demons. That would probably not work out well for him. Them either, really. Unless he wanted the demon to keel over laughing at him. But hey, he had the tacky shirt for that. It had happened before. There was something to be said for being a demon laughingstock. He ducked a punch the demon aimed at his head and twisted away from it. Caleb! Stop napping! Nick headbutted the demon. I need a little hand over here? One not covered in demon snot? Sliding in from the left, a colorful blur caught the demon in front of him and slammed it to the side. Ah, he knew that blur, and never had he been more grateful for that mass of mismatched hair and almost 7 feet of immortal fury. While Zev continued to battle in his stead, Nick turned to find Caleb on the ground, oozing his black blood all over the pavement. Pale and shaking, his friend could barely breathe. What the heck? Terrified, he ran to Caleb. Cody had already peeled his shirt back to expose an ugly, jagged wound where Caleb had been stabbed in his side, to the left of his navel. She was trying to tend it. She held Caleb's balled-up t-shirt to it in an effort to stave off the bleeding. What happened? Caleb grimaced. Demon came in behind me while I was distracted. Stabbed me before I killed it. Nick scowled. You don't get distracted. Sucking his breath in sharply, Caleb gestured at his side. You would be wrong, apparently. Zev came running to their sides. Cody looked up at him. Did you get the demon? With a nod at her, he grimaced at the sight of Caleb's injury. This is bad. Yeah. It wasn't healing, and Caleb was getting paler by the heartbeat. His breathing became more and more shallow as it rattled in his chest. Even his form was beginning to fade from human to demon, which meant he was losing power and getting too weak to maintain his human disguise. Nick froze at the underlying dire note in Zev's voice. What's going on with him?
The blade was coated. I can smell the poison. They were assassins set to kill Caleb.
They can't kill him. He's immortal.
Zev scoffed.
We're not immortal. We're just hard to kill, and immune to normal human decay and weapons. But this wasn't a man-made weapon. This one was made specifically for Dave's.
His eyes teared up as he wiped at the blood on Caleb's cheek.
And I am not losing you, brother. Not like this.
Caleb grabbed the front of Zev's shirt in a fierce fist.
Don't you dare, he snarled. Don't you even think about it. So help me, if you do it and I live, I will kill you.
You're in no position to stop me.
What's going on here?
Manyara rushed from the back door of her shop. No taller than his mom, she was a tiny slip of a woman who barely came up to the middle of Nick's chest. Dressed in bright yellow, she had her sister locks twisted into a loose bun.
What happened?
Nick would gesture at the bodies, but since the demons were self-cleaning and had burst apart at death, Caleb was the only thing that gave testament to their earlier presence.
I was attacked by demons. In my courtyard,
Nick nodded.
One came out of your shop to get us. That's not possible. Demons can't get through my barriers or enter my store.
This one did.
Nick had never seen terror in her hazel green eyes, but he saw it today. And that did nothing to alleviate his own stress level. Rather, it jacked that bad boy through the roof. He also knew what that expression on her face meant and it wasn't, "Hey, Nick, how you doing?"
"What aren't you telling us, Manny?"
Before she could answer, he realized that her fear wasn't over what he was saying. It was what Cody had been doing behind his back that she'd been watching. Quicker than he could blink, Cody shot Manyara between the eyes with her bow at the same time Zev tackled Nick to the ground to get him out of the firing range. They fell a few feet from Manyara's body. Angry, grief-stricken, and a whole lot of confused, Nick shoved at the much larger bean.
"What the hell, man?"
"It wasn't Manyara, look." He gestured toward the body that Cody was now towing while she kept another arrow knocked and ready to fly. A body that burst apart into ashes a moment later, showing him that it had been a demon who'd come at them again and not Manyara after all. The sudden wind carried the swirling embers until they were burned out and gone. Stunned over the deception, Nick met his gaze.
"My powers are gone."
Perspicacity had been the first he developed, and it had been the only one to never fail him. Until now. He'd been completely deceived. No part of him had been able to tell that wasn't Manny. Not even a hair on the back of his neck had rose in warning. Ah, this was not good. "I'm defenseless." That thought ran through him like a freight train and sent him reeling, and with it came a new, overwhelming fear. Manyara. If the demons had made it into her store, what had happened to her and her staff? It wasn't like she'd have opened the door and said, "Here, demon, come on in, make yourself at home, pull up a chair and have tea." His heart rose to painfully lodge itself in his throat as he jackrabbited for the store. He slung the door open to find a battleground of shattered shelves, destroyed merchandise, and utter destruction. They had rained down a mini Armageddon in here. "No," he breathed. "How could they have gotten to Manny? It shouldn't have been possible. She was a goddess. Her power's absolute." Yet there was no denying the mess that surrounded him. There were even scorch marks on the ceiling and walls where they'd fought with god bolts. The protection seals on the walls continued to glow as if trying to contain whatever evil had happened here. "Nick?" Unable to breathe, he turned at the sound of Cody's voice. "What did they do to her?"
"I don't know, sweetie. But we have to help Caleb right now. He's in bad shape."
"What's Zev wanting to do?"
"Call their father."
"I thought he was being held captive, like yours." She bit her lip.
"Not like mine. Even though he's enslaved, their father has the freedom to come and go."
"Then let's do it!"
As Caleb had earlier, she hesitated. "It's not that easy, Nick. You're talking about raising a major power. He won't come willingly, and he holds no love for either son. There's no guaranteeing that he'll do anything to help them. Not without your cooperation."
"What do you mean?"
"You're the Malachi. Their father is subservient to you. You can control him, but he won't like it, and he will fight you every step of the way. But I might know something to leverage his cooperation."
"How can I command him when I don't have my powers?"
"I didn't say it wasn't risky."
But if they didn't do something, Caleb would be lost, and he wasn't willing to take that loss. Nick glanced around at the store and the destruction that had been wrought. Whatever had broken through Manyara's protection sigils and burst in here to take her had incredible abilities. In the past, they'd known their foes, known what they were up against, and how to fight them.
"That's not true. Shut up, mind. I'm trying to give myself a pep talk. Last thing I need is you crapping all over it and throwing logic and truth at me."
Because honestly, he was terrified about this, and getting more so by the moment. Logic and truth would only serve to scare the bejesus out of him. The less sense and facts he had, the braver he'd be. His breathing ragged, he met Cody's worried frown.
"What do we have to do?"
"We'll have to leverage the farm for it, but I know the one thing their father wants that you can use to bargain with. The one thing he'd never say no to."
"My soul?"
She laughed. "Unfortunately, it's not as simple as that. Your soul, we'd have no trouble giving him. What he wants will take a miracle and the best Cajun charm you possess."
God, what was she wanting?
"My freedom?" "Maybe. I don't know the price, but whatever it is,
Nick would pay it to save Caleb's life. He owed him that much. Steeling himself, he inclined his head to her.
Let's do this.
They just started for the door when Zev and Caleb came through it. Caleb was leaning hard against Zev's side. Quickly and carefully, Zev let him slide to the floor, then used his powers to slam and seal the door. That, too, was concerning.
What's going on?
We've got company.
Zev moved past Nick to sift through the debris.
Cody, I need you to help me find hematite, malachite, bloodstone, and jet or obsidian. Quickly, as much as you can.
On it.
Caleb cursed him, but Zev ignored him as he searched until he found a bottle of black salt and sea salt. He handed them to Nick.
Seal the doors and windows.
Nick moved to do it as fast as he could.
Do I need to say anything?
No. Cam's protection will return once we seal the thresholds.
Is that how they got in?
Zev shook his head.
Someone invited the evil in. Probably one of her employees who didn't know better.
Then, under his breath, he muttered,
How many times do you humans have to be told to leave evil alone and never, ever invite it into your circles?
Not exactly our fault, you know. It's all pretty and shiny. If it came in looking like Nosferatu, we'd know to run.
Nick finished pouring the salt mixture, then returned to Zev's side. He was laying out the crystals. Cody frowned.
You're summoning him here?
We can't exactly leave. Not to scare you two, but you might want to peek through the blinds.
Nick did, and wished he hadn't, as he saw the demon spectacle going on in the street.
Is that viewable to the rest of humanity, or are we just cursed?
I think we're cursed, she said, stepping away from the glass, as a giant demon came up and screamed at it. Nick jumped away and let the blinds fall back into place.
Okay, the Hell Monkeys have returned and are having a party on our block. All they need is a float and crew, and they're ready for Mardi Gras season. Have I said today how much I don't like them?
I think that feeling's mutual. Dakota cringed as they slammed against the glass, trying to break through. Nick winced.
That didn't sound like them slinging beads at us. Think if I whip my shirt off, they'll go blind and leave?
No one commented on his stupidity. Instead, Cody turned back to Zev.
I didn't think he could be summoned unless it was at an oak tree with full moonlight.
Zev passed her an irritated grimace.
I'm not a demon. Those rules don't apply to me.
That was true. He'd been an ancient god, which made Nick curious. What exactly were you a god of, anyway? Caleb answered for him.
He was a chaos god, Nick. The god of blood disease, fire, plagues, famine, violent death, fear, and destruction.
Yeah,
Zev said dryly.
I was in charge of all the fun stuff.
Wide-eyed, Nick passed a concerned look to Cody that he'd been dumb enough to set Zev loose in the world again. That might have been a mistake, in retrospect.
Don't give me that,
Zev passed an irritated smirk at him.
Through chaos, order is born. I was a balance for a goddess whose powers negated mine. And before you judge me, need I remind you of what your role is in this universe, Malachi?
Valid point. You're right. But while I was born of destruction, I'm trying not to end the world in an ugly war I lead, which is my big bone of contention. I've read the books and seen the movies. The guy in my role is supposed to be the chosen one, the good guy in a white hat, the kid who gets superpowers and saves the world, not the one who eats it. Who do I have to see about an upgrade of my role?
Zev shook his head.
We are all victims of our births, Nick. And if we're lucky enough to survive childhood, then it becomes a race to see if we can overcome those roles we're assigned the moment we draw our first breath by those who judge our parents and the labels everyone else wants to place on us, the labels we use to define and hem our own destinies with. Saddest curse of humanity is the day someone teaches you how to hate and gives you a cause for it. You come into the world a pure, unscarred soul, and your first experience is being slapped on the ass by a callous hand, supposedly for your own good, to draw your first breath.
He winced as if some horrible memory went through his mind as he looked down at Caleb.
Sad, really, that people would rather focus on what makes them different than on what makes them the same. Compassion. Hope.
He glanced from Cody to Nick.
Love. For all the differences between us. We're more alike than anyone wants to admit.
And with that, he began a chant. Caleb tried to interrupt him, but he was too weak. Zev ignored him and continued. Nick fell silent as he watched the two brothers who'd been divided by a single tragedy that had ruined both their lives forever. It made him want to seek out his own brother. The thought had occurred to him a lot, especially lately, but since his brother was also a cursed god, he'd avoided it. There was no telling what he might end up with, or how his brother might feel about learning of Nick's presence. Nick wasn't even sure if his brother knew Adarian was his father. Even though his brother was a god, they didn't know everything. Case in point, Manyara was currently missing, and she wouldn't have been had she known demons were at her doors. Like everyone else, gods could be fooled too. And if his brother didn't know he was part destructo demon, Nick definitely didn't want to be the one to drop that bombshell on him. Lesson learned, never be the bearer of bad tidings to an angry god. It just didn't pay. They tended to rip the wings off and eat those messengers. As Zev chanted, something loud popped. A bright light flashed. Two heartbeats later, something even uglier than the hell monkeys outside rose up to come at Nick and Cody. Instinctively, Nick threw his hands out to attack it, only to remember he was powerless. Cody stepped around to deflect it before Zev caught it and banished it back to whatever dimension it had come from. What was that? When Manyara wrote the protections for her store, she trapped a number of entities in the fields around it. That was one of the things she pissed off, Cody sighed. What is going on here?
There's another Malachi, Caleb growled.
Ambrose? Cody arched a brow at Nick. That would make sense, but the last time I saw him, he told me to get the eye and reset everything. He said he was out of juice, that he couldn't time travel anymore. He was on the verge of slipping over and destroying everything. I don't think it's him. It doesn't feel the same. This is a very different kind of power. Caleb groaned.
I agree. Totally different essence and feel. More powerful.
More powerful? Cody gaped. That's not possible. There's never been a more powerful Malachi than Ambrose. And speaking of, Nick's pocket began to burn him. Hissing, he realized it was coming from the amulet. Why is the eye hurting me? When he started to reach for it, Cody grabbed his hand. Your powers keep waning. We don't know what's going on. If you touch that right now,
it could kill him. She's right. You need to get that off you without touching it.
How?
Drop your pants! All three of them growled at once.
Flipping great, he yelled back. Woman finally gets me out of my pants, and it's humiliating. Only my luck. Unbuttoning his fly, he quickly towed his shoes off and pulled his jeans down before kicking them off. Thank goodness he'd worn boxers this morning. Worse, his mom was right. It paid to always have on clean underwear. You just never knew. Lesson forever imprinted on his psyche for all eternity. Especially when Cody glanced down, looked up, and started snickering.
Cody!
He snapped. Do you mind?
Sorry. It's just adorably cute.
Cute? Really? That is not something a guy wants to hear the first time his girl sees him without his pants on. Dang, woman! Could you make this any worse on me? You know I have no ego as it is. Sorry, so sorry. And still she laughed. Pressing her lips together in an adorable expression, she batted her eyelashes at him.
It's just, how Cajun are you that even your underwear is the New Orleans Saints? Seriously? I guess I should be grateful it's not purple and yellow with masks and beads.
Caleb snorted.
You should just be grateful it's clean. And that he's actually wearing some that doesn't have holes in it.
Nick glared at him. Shut up and die already.
I thought you were on your last breath an hour ago. Shouldn't you have bled out by now?
Just as Caleb opened his mouth to retort, another bright flash almost blinded Nick. He expected it to be another hell monkey. It wasn't. No, this was something far worse. Far more sinister. Tall, dark, and terrifying. This creature was something that hell itself had spawned and spat out. Forget the Malachi. This made Nick's father look like Mickey Mouse up against Godzilla. They had bantered about the term primal power. But until now, Nick hadn't understood what that meant. Yeah. If this was the good guy, he dang sure didn't want to meet the bad ones. Ever. His head was bent low, like a vicious predator that smelled fresh meat as he met Nick's gaze. He had one eye that was a vibrant green and the other a dark, earthy brown. That stark contrast was as unnerving as it was startling. Shockingly enough, his features were almost identical to Caleb's whenever Caleb was in human form. Same sculpted jaw, same aquiline nose and arched brows, tawny skin and jet black hair. They were even the same height and build. Only difference was the height and length of hair. Whereas Caleb's was short, his father's brushed his shoulders. There was also something even deadlier about his father's demeanor. Colder, far more sinister. Nick wouldn't have thought that possible. And when he turned to face Zev, his eyes blazed a vibrant red. The green amulet around his neck glowed with an ethereal fire a moment before he blasted Zev so hard it lifted him from his feet and sent him slamming into the wall behind him.
I warned you,
he snarled at Zev as he closed the distance between them.
This time, I will rip out your worthless heart and feed it to you.
Chapter 8. Nick tried to reach Zev to help him, but some unseen force held him in place. He couldn't move or speak.
Cody?
She could only move her eyes. I'm frozen too. Jaden's got me locked. Horrified, he couldn't do anything other than watch as the ancient god grabbed Zev by the throat and held him against the wall. Cut and bleeding, Zev appeared to be as helpless against his father as they were. His breathing ragged, he fearlessly met his father's gaze.
Kill me if you must, but help Malphus. He carried your banner and paid the highest price of all for it. The least you could do is save his life. Cam needs him in this fight. Without him, Jared dies. If you have any feeling for anyone besides your own selfish hide, save them.
Raw fury and hatred twisted Jaden's handsome features as he snarled at his son.
What did you do to him this time?
Zev laughed bitterly. Why ask when you won't believe a word I say? In that moment, Nick saw the strangest image in his mind. Since he no longer held the amulet, he had no idea where it came from, but he saw Zev with Myoni. Tall and lithe, she was absolutely gorgeous, the epitome of feminine perfection. No wonder Zev had lost his head to her. Graceful and elegant, Myoni had long black hair that fell in soft, thick waves to her waist. It was the kind of hair that a guy wanted to sink his hands and face in. With the round face of an angel, she had large eyes and a pert nose and full lips. Her skin had a golden cast to it, as if it were made of gold and brushed with it. Even her wings appeared to be made of spun gold. Though barefoot, she was dressed in a thin red gown that left one gold-kissed shoulder bare. Zev wore ancient bronze chainmail that moved like articulated dragon scales, and gold greaves buckled over burgundy boots that matched his cloak. The center of his bronze breastplate had the head of a hideous, terrifying chimera. With solid jet-black hair that matched his iridescent wings and normal blue eyes, he looked like an entirely different person. Nick barely recognized him. His pale eyes twinkled with devilish joy as he snuck with her into the small room of an ancient temple, an oracle chamber of some sort that was lit with wall sconces that threw their flickering shadows up on the wall behind them.
You're not supposed to be here, she admonished him. What if someone were to see you?
completely unrepentant. He gave her a kiss so hot it made Nick uncomfortable to witness it. He pulled back with a soft moan.
I had to come. I've information about my mother's battle plans you need to know.
Biting her lip, she cupped his face.
Derry, you must stop spying for us. They'll kill you if they find out.
He shrugged her concern away.
What are they going to do to me?
Cut out your heart and feed it to you?
He cupped her hand in his and pressed it to the center of her chest.
My heart is here, beyond their reach.
She opened her mouth to protest, but he silenced it with another tender kiss. After a minute, he pulled back to smile down at her.
They're planning to attack at dawn on the north gate, where you're usually weakest. I'll slow them down as best I can to give you as much time as I can to fortify your positions.
Fear and concern lined her brow as she stared up at him.
Be careful.
You too.
He lifted a lock of her hair to rub against his lips so that he could savor the softness of it.
One day, Myoni, I hope to have more than just a kiss from your lips.
You know better. We both do. Even this is more than either of us should have allowed. Now go before someone sees you, and don't come here again.
His eyes showed the depth of his heartbreak, the depth of how much he loved her, and how much those words cut him.
Sorry I bothered you, Agnya,
he said, using the submissive demon-speak term for owner. The agony of her rejection was tangible as he dropped her hair and stepped back.
I will trouble you no more.
The moment his back was turned, silent tears fell from her eyes. She covered her mouth and sobbed where he couldn't see. And when he closed the door without looking back, she flinched as if she'd been struck.
I love you, daughter Xerxes. I do.
She whispered the words under her breath.
I'm so sorry.
She turned to walk in the opposite direction.
Stop him! Don't let him escape!
She gasped at the sound of a sharp voice that was followed by the clashing of swords and the sound of fierce fighting in the main temple room. Wiping at her eyes, she flew to the door and threw it open to find Jaden there with Zev, surrounded by guards. On his knees with his hands and wings tied, Zev was cut and bleeding where they'd outnumbered him 20-1. Two of the guards held swords at his throat.
What is this?
She demanded.
We captured a Mavromino spy,
Jaden gestured at his guards.
Take him and lock him up.
She paled at Jaden's cold words as they brutally hauled Zev away, making sure to cause him as much harm as they could while they did so. Trembling, she approached Jaden slowly.
What are you planning to do with him?
He'll be interrogated for information about their army and intentions.
You mean tortured?
Jaden didn't respond.
We're at war, Myoni. Don't underestimate our enemies.
He's your son.
Who came here of his own free will to gather information for his mother to use against me. You think that deserves my mercy?
And if he didn't? What if he came to give us information instead?
Jaden laughed. Do you know how he was conceived? Through lies and deceit. He was meant to be a tool to be used against us from the very beginning. And that's what he is. Don't ever be fooled by him. He was born of a lying beast and suckled on the breast milk of demons. Trust me. I made the mistake of trusting him once when he was just a boy, and it almost cost me my life. It's a mistake I won't ever repeat. Keep your heart hardened where he's concerned, or else you'll pay dearly for your mercy.
Nick flinched as the memory faded, and he watched Jaden pull Zev by his hair toward Caleb.
Are you the one who did this to him?
He snarled in Zev's ear. Zev refused to speak. He merely blinked slowly and said nothing. Pale and shaking, Caleb glared at his father.
Told you to let me die. Next time I tell you not to call someone, brother, maybe you'll listen.
Those bitter words took the fire out of Jaden's eyes.
You side with our enemy?
Against you?
Caleb let out a scoffing laugh.
I'd side with Lucifer.
Jaden took those words like a slap. Apparently they stunned him enough that he loosened whatever hold he had on them. Cody stumbled forward, while Nick hung back, unsure of this new being who didn't appear to be the most stable of creatures. The one thing his psychotic father had taught him was to lie low in a striking position until they either calmed down or went away, and to be prepared for any attack. Caleb was poisoned, Cody said. The moment Jaden saw her, he cocked his head and frowned.
Bet?
I'm her daughter.
You can't heal him?
I don't have her powers. My father was a Thonian.
He nodded. I need lapis lazuli ground with red jasper.
Cody went to gather them and crush the stones for him.
You're not asking for payment for this?
Zev wiped at the blood on his lips. At first, Nick thought Jaden wouldn't answer, or that he didn't hear. But after a few seconds, he spoke.
You are my sons, regardless of how you were conceived.
He glanced up at Nick.
Lesson to you, boy. Beware of any woman who comes near you with a tongue laden with flattery, and twice as wary of anything she hands you to drink.
He scowled.
Where are your pants?
Over there? He pointed toward them.
Why?
Zev almost grinned. Our latest Malachi isn't quite as competent as his predecessors. Jaden went completely still.
He's the Malachi.
Nick nodded.
I had much the same reaction, only with a bit more screaming.
He paused as he remembered the day Ambrose had told him his destiny.
And a lot more cursing and denial.
Aghast, Jaden glanced from Caleb to Zev.
That idiot killed Adarian.
Caleb laughed, then choked and groaned in agony of his wounds.
Yeah, he did. Don't underestimate him. He kicked Grimm's butt, too.
And Noir's, Zev added.
Him?
Nick pouted at the insulting tone.
Wow, my ego is taking one serious butt-whipping today. Anyone else want to pile on? And I don't mean the hell monkeys outside.
Cody returned with the stones Jaden had requested, already crushed inside a granite mortar.
And before you say anything more, you should know Jared's his grandfather.
He would have dropped the mortar had Cody not caught it from his slackened grip. Time hung still. It honestly felt as if something had sucked the air from the room as Jaden stared at him with those eerie, bicolored eyes.
How is that possible?
Zev sighed.
Cam orchestrated it. He's the Malachi of prophecy, born of light and darkness, the most powerful one ever.
Standing here,
with no pants on.
Nick grinned and winked at him, then clicked his tongue and pointed with both index fingers at the ancient being. He wasn't charmed or amused.
Okay, I'm gonna put my pants back on now.
Nick cleared his throat and headed toward them.
Unbelievable.
Jaden took the mortar from Cody's hands and returned to treating Caleb, while Nick carefully picked his pants up, making sure to slide the amulet out of the pocket without touching it. Well, the good news was that the lack of belief had saved Nick's neck more than once, so while it didn't help his ego, it did serve to spare his life. He'd take it. Cody came over to brush his hair back from his face.
You okay?
Sure, Cher. I know what I am. His rejection don't bother me none.
There's only a handful of people whose opinions matter where I'm concerned, and I don't give him permission or power to hurt me.
Smiling, she pulled him into her arms.
Love you,
she whispered.
Wow, see.
Nick fisted his hand in her hair and ground his teeth at the realization that she was one of the handful of people who could completely destroy him. While he honestly didn't care what Jaden or his enemies thought, he did care about Cody. And in the back of his mind was the image of the day he killed her. It haunted him constantly now. Even with his eyes open, it forever played like a game day slow-mo clip. From across the room, he met Jaden's gaze as the ancient god watched them curiously. He didn't speak while he worked on Caleb, and Zev, he had turned away to give them privacy. He always did. Nick didn't need his powers to know why. Zev still mumbled Myonne's name in his sleep. Half the time, he woke up whispering it under his breath as he reached for her in the bed, only to curse once he realized he was no longer in the past and that she was gone. His heart broken for him, Nick stepped away from Cody and took her hand to lead her closer to Jaden and Caleb. Once he had Caleb's wound packed, he stared down at him.
I can't believe that wound didn't kill you.
Yeah, especially since you dragged your feet tending it.
Jaden rolled his eyes.
Same Malthus, ever cantankerous.
He moved away from him.
Since you were maintaining your human form, I knew you weren't overly dire.
He manifested a cloth and wiped his hands off.
You could thank me, you know.
For what? Being a father for once in my extremely long life? Well then, thank you.
Yeah, there was no sarcasm in those words at all. Ignoring it, Jaden scowled at the mess around them, and the sounds of the demons still trying to break in.
What exactly is going on here, anyway? Where's Cam?
Missing,
Zev and Cody said simultaneously.
Again?
Caleb sat up with a grimace.
We don't know what's going on.
Hence why Rainbow Pony over there decided to call you in against my better sense.
Crossing his arms over his chest, Zev glared at his brother.
Go ahead and insult me, but we need information. The one thing I know about the other side, they're a chatty bunch, especially my mother.
Jaden nodded.
He's right about that. Discretion's not her valor, but in terms of this, I know nothing. This they haven't talked about.
Irritated, Nick growled low in his throat.
Well, something isn't right. I've lost my powers. I can't use the eye. My generals are missing. We got hell monkeys at the door, and Morton's disguised as Aunt Minnie, who's now missing too. Aunt Minnie?
Cam, Zev said.
His generals are Dagon and Aaron.
Jaden gaped at Nick.
Why would you pick them for your generals? Have you lost your mind? Up until they vanished, it was working.
Jaden pressed his hands to his head as if he was developing a migraine or a brain tumor. Strangely, it was the same look Kyrian got whenever he had to deal with too much Nick logic. Bubba, too, for that matter. Well, at least he had one superpower that was still working. He could frustrate full-grown adults past rational speech without even trying.
Bully that.
Nick grinned at him. And lest I forget, there's still the matter of my missing Amon demon named Zavid.
That one I know.
They all turned to Jaden. Pardon? Nick stepped forward. You've seen him?
Noir has him.
Cody placed a comforting hand on Nick's shoulder.
So it's true, he isn't dead.
Well, he is dead. But Noir took custody of his soul. Poor bastard.
Zev cursed. You just had to add that, didn't you? You couldn't leave well enough alone. He made a sound of supreme disgust.
What?
Jaden asked innocently.
What did I do?
Caleb joined his brother in making the noises of IBS.
Isn't it enough? I've been poisoned and almost killed? God, I don't need the eye to see this next act of blatant stupidity that Nick's about to hurl at us.
The two brothers gave Nick an identical droll stare of utter contempt and irritation.
Well, don't give me that look. Obviously, you know me well enough to know what I'm going to say and do, so it's not going to be any surprise to either of you.
Caleb hooked his thumb at Zev.
He can't go. His blood is what's holding them down there. If he steps foot into Asmodea, it'll blow those seals wide open and set them free. And if you go, little Malachi, they'll never let you out. You are their power source. Daddy, dearest Hernia, tell him.
Jaden nodded.
He's right. You don't want to know what they did to Adarian. There's a reason he was psychotic. Even I felt bad for him, and pity doesn't come naturally to me.
Zev snorted. The poster child for I need serious parenting classes isn't lying about that.
Yeah, Nick, and it's not hard to know why.
Caleb jerked his chin toward his father.
You met his parents during our last fun-filled Disney adventure?
Nick scowled.
I did?
Cody leaned in to explain what they were hedging around. Tiamat and Cronus. His jaw went slack at the reminder of two of the scariest things they'd been up against in a while. And with Tiamat as a mother, it explained a lot. About everything. He didn't know who to feel worse for. Jaden or his sons.
Those were your parents.
She birthed all the original monsters, Zev muttered as he cut a pointed and meaningful glare toward Jaden.
Jaden arched his brow at the less than subtle innuendo.
Pardon?
Oh.
Zev blinked innocently.
Did I say that out loud?
Jaden narrowed an evil glare on him.
Yeah, you did. And need I remind you that she didn't birth the Malachi?
Oh. Pardon. There's one she didn't birth. How forgetful of me. Must be all the centuries I spent in hell being tortured. Tends to take a toll on one's memory.
Zev rolled his eyes.
What's that supposed to mean? Need I remind you of where I've been? Where your brothers are because of you? I had nothing to do with that. Yeah, sure you didn't. I didn't betray my own army.
While they continued to argue and Caleb blatantly ignored them, Nick's mind spun with what they'd just inadvertently disclosed.
Hold on! Wait with the family squabbling for a sec.
He scratched at his head as he ran through what they'd said. Yeah, that was what they'd said. He met Jaden's freaky gaze.
Your father is Cronus, right? That's what you said. As in the God of Time.
What of it?
Is there any way you can get me into the future? To talk to Ambrose?
Cody turned pale.
Nick, that's a profoundly bad idea.
Caleb sat up.
She's right. No one should know too much about their future, and you already know way too much about yours. It's why it keeps getting screwed up.
True, but I need to ask him one more thing. Please? Nick turned his puppy eyes to Cody.
You said you could help me barter with Jaden to get what I needed, right?
I didn't mean this.
Zev shook his head. Listen to them, kid. Don't do it.
Maybe. But all of you, except Jaden, know how stubborn I am. You really think you can stop me?
Caleb lay back down with a groan.
You know you can't stop King Stupid from blatant acts of supreme idiocy. Believe me, I've tried everything. He wears you down with it and always wins. I've learned to just go with it and save my strength for battling whatever nightmare is unleashed by his failure to listen to good advice.
Nick cleared his throat.
You know, Caleb, I am standing right here. Yeah, and I'm laying right here, bleeding from the last time you didn't listen to me.
While he might have had a valid point, Nick refused to concede, which was exactly what Caleb was arguing. But he was too old to change his ways now. Besides, this was the best shot they had.
Look, Ambrose hasn't failed us. He's been honest from the beginning.
At least for the most part, and they didn't need to know about the few lies he told himself.
You said yourself that he was slipping, Cody reminded him. True, but we could go back before Ambrose goes nuts and kills everyone, right?
Jaden hesitated before he answered.
That's one unstable theory.
And still the only thing they had to go on. Nick glanced around at them and at the destruction that told them nothing about whatever power or entity they were up against.
Fine, I'll go alone. Risk only me. The rest of you can stay here until I return.
No!
They all shouted at once. Jaden cast his gaze around at them.
Take it you've all had a bad experience?
You don't want to know,
Caleb said bitterly.
He's the only one I know who could find trouble waiting for him at the bottom of a Rice Krispies box.
Nick would have been offended, if it wasn't true. Zev stepped forward.
I'll go with him. I'm the least likely to screw something up.
The look on Cody's face said she wanted to argue, but after a few minutes, she relented. With an irritated glare, she turned toward Nick.
Are you set on this?
Nick nodded.
I have to see it through.
She glanced at Jaden.
Can they get back here?
Returning's not the issue. They just have to make sure not to bring anything back with them.
Nick held his hands up. Not a problem.
See that it isn't.
With that warning spoken, Jaden let out a long, tired breath.
We'll work on the Dramunks outside. I trust you know how to return?
He asked Zev. Zev nodded.
So long as my curse doesn't prohibit it.
For the first time, Nick saw guilt in Jaden's eyes.
Let me see your arm.
With an emotionless stare, Zev loosened his sleeve and rolled it back to expose the ancient words that bound him to eternal slavery and limited his powers. Jaden examined it for several seconds.
Now your side.
Zev hesitated as his gaze went to Cody.
I won't look.
She turned around to give him privacy. Still, there was shame in his hazel eyes as he dropped his gaze to the floor and lifted his shirt for Jaden to see where the rest of the curse had been brutally seared into his flesh on the day they'd ripped his wings from his back and condemned him to this existence. His muscles were absolutely taut from the rigidness of his stance. Nick wanted to comfort him, but how could anything do that? He'd lost his wife, his son, his wings, his freedom. All he'd done was try to help, and they'd coldly taken everything from him for the effort. In that moment, Nick understood why Jaden didn't trust him. He saw Zev as a young teenager, probably no more than 16 or 17, his age. While Jaden had slept, Zev had crept into his room and swapped amulets on him. Not the green one he currently wore, but another that had drained his powers and left him at the mercy of Zev's mother and her demon horde. The moment he discovered his son's treachery, Jaden had declared his hatred and enmity.
I welcomed you into my home. Why would you do this to me?
Zev had returned his glower without flinching or shirking.
For all the years you didn't welcome me, Father. For every lash and insult I've been given in your name. And for all the years I was forced to serve them as an animal because you refused to acknowledge me as your son. I do this for her, and I go free. You owe me this. I owe you nothing save my hatred. Then we are even after all. Worse?
It had been a trick. Azura had still refused to release Zev, even after he'd handed Jaden over to her. Instead, she'd laughed in his face and slapped him for being stupid and gullible enough to believe her lies. So as a final act of defiance, he'd freed his father 2 days later. Rather than return the favor, Jaden had left him behind, locked in his cell as punishment, even while Zev had begged his father for mercy and forgiveness.
You can't leave me here. You can't conceive what she'll do to me for it.
Like I care. Rot here with your mother and her demons. I never want to lay eyes on you again, you treacherous bastard. You are no son of mine.
And so Zev had been left to face his mother's unreasoning wrath. Nick flinched as he felt the nightmare Zev had barely survived. Jaden had no idea what he'd condemned his child to, any more than Caleb understood the nightmare that had been Zev's existence. It was why Zev still lashed out and trusted no one, why he had a hard time accepting kindness of any sort. Zev swallowed hard as Jaden finally stepped away from him.
You'll be fine to return.
Lowering his shirt, he cut a suspicious grimace toward Jaden.
Can I trust your word this time?
He's not lying to you, Zev. And you know I won't leave you behind. Not for anything. They come for you, they deal with me.
His gaze softened as he reached out and pulled Nick to his chest so that he could hold him. He clutched his fist in Nick's hair so hard his hand trembled. It was weird and awkward. But Nick tolerated it by reminding himself that Zev didn't see him as a boy toy. He saw him as his child. His great-grandson, his last link to Myoni, and to the son he'd been forced to give up in order to keep that child safe from being treated the way he had. Rather than watch his child be raised in the same environment he'd known, he'd returned to the shadows to live alone and watch from a distance as the woman he loved more than his life took another husband who believed Zev's child to be his. So long as she'd lived and their son had been protected and safe, Zev had been leashed and content. but the moment she was gone, and their son enslaved, he'd been an insane, suicidal monster ever since, not caring who he harmed or what happened to the world or himself. Until now. Everything had changed the moment he learned what Manyara had done, and that Nick's mom was his granddaughter. Since then, Zev had become a worse Velcro, Nick-don't-skin-your-knees monster than his mother was most days. He was lucky Zev hadn't bubble-wrapped the bathroom to make sure Nick didn't injure himself whenever he went in to brush his teeth. He had modulated the water pressure and temperature to barely more than a lukewarm drip because you just never knew. Sighing, Nick patted him on the back. You good? 'Cause, no offense, you're freaking me out, Gramps. Laughing, Zev kissed him on the head before he let go. Nick ran his hand through his hair to settle it back into place. We really need to get you your own pet or teddy bear or something.
No. We just need to make sure you don't get hurt.
Nick nodded, then turned around to face Jaden. So, what exactly is involved in doing this? We sacrifice a Lego, bathe under the light of a full moon, eat nachos, yank on Asheron's coat, and run before he catches you? Jaden wore the same pained expression his teachers often had whenever they saw him in their room on the first day of class and realized he was there to stay and not dropping off books for a friend, especially his English teacher, like they were nursing an ulcer. He glanced at Cody.
Is he always like this?
Yes.
Poor you.
Cody screwed her face up.
You know, a lot of people say that to me.
Yeah, it's beginning to give me a complex.
Laughing, she kissed his cheek.
Don't listen to them. I think you're wonderful. Just the way you are.
I really appreciate that, Code. And I love and adore you. But the mere fact that you go out with me and continue to do so brings your entire ability to reason and judge into question. Laughing, she wrapped her arm around his waist and buried her face against his shoulder blade. Nick sucked his breath in sharply, savoring the warmth of her body pressed against his back. She had no idea what that embrace did to him, what it meant to his sanity. Then again, she was his anchor. Maybe she did know. And that was why, whenever he needed her most, she was here to keep him grounded. For all the preternatural abilities and magic he normally wielded, they paled in comparison to the sorcery of her touch. She alone could tame the Malachi inside him and bend it to her will. He was completely helpless where she was concerned, and he couldn't imagine a world where that would ever change. Sobering, she peeked up at Jaden.
Don't let him get harmed.
Nick better come back whole and healthy, or else you're gonna meet the Bathymos side of me. Jaden's eyes widened.
You're threatening me.
I'm promising you. She gave Nick a fierce hug before she rose up on her tiptoes to whisper in his ear.
Please, stay out of trouble.
Cher, you know how hard I try.
But when the devil be wantin' a fado dough, what's a po' boy to do?
Stay out of trouble, she repeated. I mean it. I will do my best. Her eyes sad, she nodded and let go of him. Then she went to Zev to give him a hug.
Be careful,
especially since you're hauling the trouble magnet. Nick clapped his hands together.
All right, what? A bright light cut his words off.
One second, they were in the remains of Manyara's store, and in the next, he was standing outside of San Luis Cathedral. At least, that's what it looked like it used to be. His heart pounding in terror, Nick turned around slowly to see that he was definitely in what remained of Jackson Square. But it was currently on fire. The Pontalba buildings and Cabildo, even the Café du Monde, were all ablaze. This was a hellacious inferno. Bodies were strewn like contorted dolls in the street. Cars were twisted, burned out chassis, interspersed with military equipment that included the remains of tanks and even downed helicopters. Bile rose in his throat to choke him. He felt the color drain from his face as he realized that Jaden had dropped him straight into ground zero of his worst nightmare. This wasn't before Ambrose had lost his mind. This was the height of him and his army destroying the world. Zev appeared as stunned as he was, while they both turned slow circles to stare agape at the unholy destruction around them.
How is this possible?
Nick swallowed hard at the devastation. This is what I've been seeing in my visions. It's what Ambrose has been warning me about. Suddenly, a loud, pterodactyl-esque scream sounded. They turned in sync to find a huge, red-fleshed demon bearing down on them from the sky. Closing the distance between them, Zev grabbed him to shield him with his body. Just as the beast would have reached Nick with its claws, it burst apart with an ear-splintering cry. Blood and entrails rained down everywhere, along with hot fire that luckily Zev used his powers to deflect. Straightening, Zev loosened his hold. Nick lifted his head as the smoke around them swirled and dissipated a bit. Out of the darkness stepped the last person he'd expected to see. It was his lunatic demon friend, Simi. Only she appeared older than the teenaged, shopping, diamond-eating goth he knew and adored. Dressed in gleaming armor and with her black hair braided, she was the best sight he could imagine in this madness. Until her eyes turned blood red, and she knocked an arrow for his throat. Then he realized that things between them weren't quite the same. Simi, it's not what you think. I'm not Simi. I'm her daughter. And you're the worthless bastard who killed her, and now I'm going to kill you.
Chapter 9. That was not what Nick had expected the girl in front of him to say. Ever. Too shocked to move, he was an easy target for her. Thankfully, Zev wasn't the idiot he was. He grabbed him as she let loose another arrow for his head and jerked him out of the way just in time. When she went to release another, Zev used his powers to disarm her. He sent her bow flying, skittering across the burning pavement.
He's not the Malachi who did this.
Yeah, right.
She manifested a sword to come after them. Zev did the same, but he hesitated at using it on the demon. Instead, he protected himself from her attacks, but didn't go on the offensive.
I don't want to hurt you, especially if you're a daughter of Simi's. But I can't allow you to harm him either. He has to live.
Her breathing ragged, she stepped back to angle her sword and circle them, while debating whether or not to re-engage Zev. Or maybe she was looking for a better way to attack him. Wow. She looked just like her mother. Virtually identical. Nick couldn't get over it. Same height, same build. All she needed was a bottle of barbecue sauce, goth clothes, Doc Martens, and a coffin purse, and she'd be the spitting image of the demon who'd kept him amused until his sides ached from laughter over her insightful truths and antics. Not to mention her never-ending quest to find an all-you-can-eat buffet that didn't throw her out after half an hour of her powering through a month's worth of their groceries. How could he have ever harmed Simi? He loved her. She wasn't just one of his best friends. Simi was family. This didn't make sense. He knew himself. Nick Gaucher didn't hurt the ones he loved, ever. Malachi or no Malachi, it wasn't in him to be like that. Was it? Could he really be that treacherous and not know it? As he tried to understand, his head began to careen as a thousand images tore through him at once and drove him to his knees. How could life change anyone this much and turn them into a monster? How? And in that moment, he saw the pained expression on Kirian's face. The night he'd asked him what it had felt like the first time he'd gone into battle as an ancient warrior and taken someone's life. More than that, he saw and felt Kirian the day he'd actually done it. It wasn't just a vision. It played through him as if it were his own memory, as if he were there in Kirian's place, feeling and seeing everything his boss had. For some reason, he'd thought Kirian was older when he'd gone off to war. But his stalwart boss had only been 19 or 20 at the Battle of Primaria, more skinny than muscular. Nick's age. Back then, Kirian hadn't been the fierce, competent general Nick knew and respected. Like him, he'd been nothing more than a scared kid, trying to make sense of a world that really was random and nonsensical most of the time.
one that seemed a whole lot crueler and more merciless than it needed to be. And that was the hardest part of puberty, those daily, often brutal slaps in the face that let him know adulthood was nothing like he thought it would be when he was little, that it didn't work the way it was supposed to. You didn't get to eat dessert for dinner, even though you were now the one in charge of ordering your own food. Your money didn't go to buy all the video games you wanted. Instead of answering to a teacher, you answered to a boss who made you ache for the days when your worst dread was the school bell. You still had to go to bed at a reasonable time and get up early and do chores you hated rather than hanging out with your friends. And bullies didn't get the comeuppance they were supposed to, nor did they get left behind on the playground. Now they were your boss, and if you punched them in the face like they deserved, you didn't go to the office for suspension or alternative school, you went to jail. The people willing to stand up for you became far fewer. And more days than not, you were left feeling alone and abandoned, unwanted and worthless. But that being said, life still had a way of taking you by surprise. Just when you were willing to give up on it entirely and throw in the towel, just when you thought people weren't worth the trouble, something or someone would come along and reorient your entire way of thinking. Some tiny miracle would give you hope in the midst of the darkness and carry you through it, and you would see the beauty of the world anew. Those were the moments that made life worth living, and they were what everyone clung to. Closing his eyes, Nick saw one of those life rafts that stayed with Kirian to this day. Exhausted from the grueling march to the town and sickened from the sight of the slaughter that had greeted them and from the fighting earlier that day, Kirian had removed his armor to help build funeral pyres and move the slaughtered bodies to them. Against orders, training, and protocol, he'd left his sword and shield on his horse. Honestly, he was too disgusted by war at this point to look at them. The last thing he'd wanted was the weight of what he'd done on his chest, and the reminder of the lives he'd taken earlier to save his own, while he laid these innocent civilians to rest. And as each hour passed, and he carried another child or its mother in his arms, it was taking everything he had, not to run to his horse and ride home to his father and admit that his father had been right. He wasn't a soldier. War was horrible and awful, and all the things his father had warned him of. Kirian wanted nothing to do with a soldier's life after all. He wanted nothing more to do with the slaughter and brutality. All he craved now was his old bed and the comforts of home. Only his wounded pride kept him from running. That and the fact that his father would never let him live it down. Never see him as anything more than a petulant, spoiled boy who had failed to stand by his hot-headed decision that he'd made because he thought only of the fame it would bring him. How could you ever stand and lead a kingdom if you aren't man enough to see your decisions through? Good or bad, once you decide, the consequences will always be yours alone to live with. So think through all outcomes, son, and make sure you understand the course it will force you to walk, and that you're willing to make that journey and see it through to the end, good and especially bad. And so Kirian forced himself to swallow his gall and bile and continue to prepare the dead, even though he feared he'd never sleep or eat again.
Boy!
Kirian had frozen in place as he reached for the body of a young girl. Dimitri, their burly second-in-command, had stormed toward him.
Where's your armor? Your sword?
Straightening, Kirian had tried to think of a reasonable explanation that wouldn't result in a whipping for violating their orders. Unfortunately, there wasn't one.
Did you not hear me?
Swallowing hard, he gestured toward their pitched tents. It's with my horse, sir, on the edge of camp. Furious, Dimitri grabbed Kirian's crimson eximus in a tight fist and snatched him forward.
We're at war, boy. You do not abandon your equipment to a place where you cannot reach it should we come under attack, or where thieves or enemies could steal it. Is that your desire, to arm your enemies so that they can cut your throat with your own arms? I'll have you whipped for this. Maybe next time you'll remember.
As Dimitri dragged him toward the tents, a deep, resonant, commanding voice rang out.
Halt!
Kirian almost wet himself. as he recognized Julian of Macedon's restrained fury. As their commander and the famed son of a goddess and legendary Spartan hero, he was the warrior no one wanted to cross or anger. Even though his father had placed him under Julian's direct protection, Kyrian had done his best to stay out of his sight and away from his notice, as he was the one person in this army who could kill him with impunity. For that matter, his comrades would probably applaud Julian for his murder, since they couldn't stand Kyrian anyway. But he refused to let Julian know he was intimidated as he closed the distance between them. Forcing himself to lift his chin, he met his commander's gaze without flinching. After all, he was a prince of Thrace. Whatever punishment he had coming, he'd take it with every fiber of regal bearing he possessed. Julian didn't even glance in his direction as he came to rest a few feet away. His ire was for Dimitri.
"Release him. There's been enough blood spilled today. Let the boy alone."
"Seriously, Commander, prince or not, he needs to learn his place."
Julian's expression turned to stone.
"Are you questioning my orders, soldier?"